Thank you so much for the privilege of sharing. It's an honor any time to talk about Jesus. Like, I can't believe this is what we get to do. That we get to just come here freely to learn from each other, to grow, to be challenged, to be convicted. It is such a privilege that we should never, ever take for granted that we have this freedom right now to be able to do this, sit together. You can stay for two services if you want. No one's telling you to leave. You can go to pre-service prayer if you want. You can be here for 6 hours on a Sunday. Now, to some of you, you're like, oh, what a nightmare. But others of you, like, that's incredible. That's such a privilege. Join pre-service prayer. Join a team. Get involved. This is just an excellent, excellent place to be, and God is so good. Amen. Okay, let's get into it. All right, friends. So, we're in Isaiah. How many are keeping up with their Heart Strong readings? Yeah, yes. Okay, also encouragement. We are like in final seasons of Heart Strong. This has been a 3-year journey. Some of you are newer to it. You're just hopping in now. Some of you have been around since the beginning of this 3-year journey. This is wild. And I want to encourage all of us, like myself included, let's finish strong. Let's be finishers of this. Let's not be like, oh, the prophets, like it's tiring. No, like dig in even more. Ask for more faith, ask for more courage, ask for more just curiosity about scriptures. Let's be finishers of this. Let's finish well. And let's finish as a team, because that is just beautiful. Okay, so as we navigate the book of Isaiah together, let's remind ourselves of a couple of things, because you might be coming in cold. Maybe you're like, 3 years, that's a long time. I wasn't here. Who cares? And that's okay, too. It's okay. You can jump in today and just come right along on the journey with us. It's okay. Let's remind ourselves of some of the main themes or the big ideas that make up this book. Isaiah is a collection of oracles, prophecies, declaring the people's sin against God, their need for repentance in light of impending judgment and future restoration. Isaiah is grouped into sections. Isaiah chapters 1 to 39, they are prophecies of God judging Israel due to their rebellion. Isaiah 40 to 66 are prophecies of God sending hope to Israel through a Messiah. Thank you, Jesus. This book interweaves a beautiful and important dynamic of judgment and hope that pertains to Israel, that pertains to all the nations, and pertains to us even today. As we navigate our scriptures today, I want you to ask yourselves, what is forming me? What is it that's influencing me, that's shaping me? What is forming me? What's forming us? We find ourselves having read already the first 20 chapters of Isaiah. We're showing up today, we're diving into the story, and we're kind of right in a setting where consequences of actions are happening. People are doing things, and they're experiencing the consequences of their actions. Has anyone ever said that to their kid? Like, the consequences of your own actions? Oh, that's come out of my mouth so many times. Isaiah takes it to a different level. I do not give the same consequences to my children as what is happening in the Old Testament. But it's a common thing, right? We all understand that our actions have consequences. Okay, so this section of Isaiah, chapters 24 to 31, there are 6 woes. Everybody say woes. Woes. It's a good word. I never use that word in daily language, but I like it. Woes. These are woes that hold wisdom for us. In the Bible, a woe is far more than an expression of sadness. It's actually a solemn warning of grief, affliction, wretchedness, calamity, or trouble. Oof. We're getting into it. It's okay. It can be categorized as an exclamation of judgment or misfortunes on ourselves or others. Important to note here, woe can give way to forgiveness, comfort, and deliverance. Keep that in mind, okay, as we go through this. The woes, everybody say woes.
Woes.
Good. Can be summarized in Isaiah into these 4 words. Now, these are like big, heavy words, okay? I'm not going to make you say them back to me. It's okay. Debauchery. Deception. Ooh. Yeah. Darkness. Ooh. Destruction. Happy times. Good times. They sound a little bit scary, but let's not get lost in this. Let's keep going. Let's seek after the bigger picture. Let's look at what God is doing here, okay? before we dig into this, I want to look at a singular word that's found in Isaiah 27 times. This word is Yatzar. 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 That's good. Yatzar. It's good. It means form. It can be translated from the Hebrew into created, fashioned, formed, much as a potter would form clay. I like this particular definition that I found, thoughtfully and intentionally made, Yatzar. God creates and forms, and God's forming work is often from deformation back into proper formation. Let's read an often quoted, and this is often favorited. Like, this is one of the scriptures that so many people really, really cling to. Let's read it from Isaiah and trace God's work of formation through these woes. I'm reading from Isaiah 43 here, 1-3. Now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be scorched. The flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. Thank you, Lord. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. God forms through redemption. Redemption is an intimate, vulnerable, personal work, an inner transformation. Now, we can all attest that just because we are being transformed inside, it doesn't mean that we will not pass through difficult waters. It doesn't mean we won't have to walk through fire. But it does mean that we will not drown and we will not be scorched. It means that even in the lowest and darkest moments, that he is with us. One central theme of Isaiah is that the book is actually God himself, who does all things for his glory and points us towards Jesus. God's people find strength only as they rest in his promises, find refreshment only as they delight in his word, and will find his will only through continually seeking it. God creates, we rebel. Our rebellion needs God's redeeming work to form us into who he created us to be in the first place. Isaiah prophesies of 6 specific woes, catastrophes, calamities, if Israel and Judah refuse God's work of redeeming formation. In Isaiah 28, there's a woe given to Ephraim regarding how debauchery, which if that's not a word that you walk around saying, I don't, much like woes, but that's okay. We love it. We love the Old Testament. Debauchery means the extreme indulgence in bodily pleasures. There's a woe given to Ephraim regarding how debauchery is deforming them. Think of what happens. Now let's put it into our context, okay? Think of what happens when moderation turns to addiction, right? We can all understand that on various levels, but we all have, you know, moderation is good things. Too far down the road, it's not moderation anymore, right? God sees that the northern and southern kingdoms, he sees what they do not yet see. They believe that they are in control when in fact, bodily pleasures are controlling them. It's incredibly easy for us even today to slip into this. Let's read from Isaiah 28. Ah, the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley of those overcome with wine. These also reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are swallowed by wine. They stagger with strong drink. They reel in vision. They stumble in giving judgment. For all the tables are full of filthy vomit with no space left. Whew, that's an image, right? Like, you can see it as I'm describing it, right? It's when debauchery takes over. When bodily pleasures deform us, it affects not only us, it affects our nation, it affects our family, it affects our vision and our judgment and our self-control. Now, you may not be living in that extreme. But have you ever found yourself being formed by, like, scrolling too much? Have you been formed by cravings? Things that provide immediate happiness or distraction? Are you being conquered by your physical being? Our next woe, deception, leads us to an important picture of what happens when lives and nations are ensnared. Jesus references this exact woe in Matthew 15. The Lord said this, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." Deception. Faith is a rooted trust that God is who he declared himself to be. Are you allowing your faith to form you? Deception. Deception is a rooted trust that all God cares about is lip service, not wholehearted devotion. It's faking, essentially. It's convincing ourselves that he doesn't see our hearts fully, that he's just okay with lip service, with pretending, you know? It's convincing ourselves that all God cares about is what we have to show, when actually what he cares about is our hearts. Faith cannot always see, but it trusts that God is. Deception stops trusting in God, but keeps going through the motions. Let's look at how deception leads into our next woe, darkness. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who says, "Who sees us? Who knows us?" You turn things upside down. In deception, down becomes up, right becomes wrong, light becomes dark. The ultimate manifestation of deception is the belief that no one sees or knows that we've turned things completely upside down. Let's read from Isaiah 29. "Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? That the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me,' or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding.' In deception and darkness, chaos reigns. Nothing makes sense. We lose our focus. We lose our peace. We lose our hope. We lose our North Star guiding us. But God. If you read Isaiah, there is a lot of heavy language in there. There's some pretty serious things. But you know what? Life has some pretty serious things. If all that we're comfortable to wrestle through are the like positive affirmations of the day, friends, we are missing so much. And when we hit those heavy seasons, everything turns up void because you have nothing to actually cling to. It's okay to kind of sit in the difficulty. It's okay. But God finds us in his unfailing love and he reforms us. Let's allow God to be the potter and us the clay. Allow God to create, to form us. He can turn heartless worship into heartfelt worship. He can awaken dry bones. He can revive a city, a heart, a dream. Isaiah 29, verses 22 and 23. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel." Deformation can be summarized by us walking in our own wisdom. The last couple of weeks, in preparation for this sermon, I listened to all three campuses all 3 weeks. I listened to a lot of sermons from a lot of perspectives in Isaiah because it's fascinating to me what God does. And it can be summarized by this: walking in our own wisdom with ourselves leading the way does not lead to real life. when pride reigns, when control and fear convince us that we know best, when our hearts are turned towards ourselves instead of God, this is our separation. Yes, it can seem that this is a little bit vivid, harsh, difficult to read these passages, to consider this reality, a separation like that. The fact is, though, our loving, kind, good, holy, and just Creator is giving us warnings. He never gives up. He never gives up. He consistently goes back. You see it time again, when you read the Old Testament. God constantly reaching out. God constantly saying, I love you. I love you. Return to me. He never gives up. He'll never give up on any of you. Sometimes people will say about the Old Testament prophets, they contain too much wrath, judgment, fear. However, the Old Testament prophets are confronting a problem of sin and its consequences. They don't have like the rose-colored sugar coating that sometimes I think maybe we like to employ, as, you know, do most people throughout history, right? Now, friends, I know this has been a little bit heavy, but since Jesus' death on the cross confronts, forgives, sits in place of our sins, we have freedom. Thank you, Jesus. The second half of Isaiah is messianic prophecies. It's beautiful. It's incredible. I can't wait to get there. Like, if you've been going through Heartstrong, are you sitting there hopeful for what's coming? Yeah. Because there is some gold. Like, it's amazing. The seriousness of the prophetic voices and their stories that, yes, include wrath and destruction, they are pointing to Jesus. They are pointing to the problem of sin and how it can be dealt with finally, once and for all. What kind of Messiah would matter if our sin wasn't a big deal? If separation from God was not serious and didn't bring actual consequences, calamity, all of those things, it would completely negate the work on the cross. It would be a waste. Thank you, Jesus. We have eternal freedom because of our Savior. That's wild. We have freedom because of Jesus, because of his work on the cross. Now, friends, while we have eternal freedom, we are not always necessarily exempt from earthly realities that exist when we choose to live in these woes. Everybody say woes. Woes. Let's lighten the atmosphere. Get up there. Pump up. We are not necessarily exempt to earthly consequences. We still face the temptation. I still face the temptation to put myself first every single day. And oftentimes I know I do. We still face the temptation to walk in pride. Isaiah 30 provides us with razor sharp clarity that redemptive formation in us and the nations means abandoning walking in your own wisdom and instead turning towards the Lord and all of his goodness. Your teacher will not hide any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. What a way to live. I want to live that way. That my eyes will see my teacher. That when I turn to the right or the left, my ears will hear. This is the way. Walk in it. God, let us hear you. Let us see you. The book of Isaiah is an encouragement to trust the Lord, to Yatzar, to form not only the people of that age, the Israelites, but to form us. God creates and forms, and his forming work is often from deformation back into formation. God creates, we rebel. Our rebellion needs God's redeeming work to form us to be who he created us to be, to become more like Jesus. So are we being formed by indulgence, by a life of pleasure, by deceit? Are we living in deception, where we've convinced ourselves that everything's fine if we fake it? Friends, he knows your heart. It's so embarrassing, but we're only fooling ourselves, right? Yeah. Like, we really are. He knows your hearts, the deepest parts, and he loves you still. Is pride leading our lives? As I was getting ready for this message, I was curious about some of the things that are forming Yatsar, that are forming us as Canadians. This is what my top-notch internet sleuthing provided me. We're being shaped by these things, among many others. But this is kind of a few continuations of ideas that showed up. We're being shaped by a strengthening of Canadian identity and values because of international events. Canadian pride is on the rise. It may also have to do with a sports team. Just throwing it out there. Ah, that was good. Throwing it out there. We are being shaped right now by an increased pride in our Canadian identity. Also, there is an incredibly high focus on personal values, like work-life balance, financial stability, planning for the future. And there is a massive fear of the unknown. That is forming us. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what could happen. Fear of economic destruction. Fear of a recession. Fear of war. Right now, those things are forming Canada. Now, some of these values, work-life balance and Canadian pride, all of those things, they're not necessarily bad. Some of them are great. But as followers of Jesus, our national pride, our work-life balance, our prayers that inflation would go down, these have to flow out of being deeply transformed by God. Our hearts and our minds need continuous renewal from the Lord. Our fear of the unknown can be transformed into courage. It can be transformed into hope that we're not looking with natural eyes, but that we trust in the Creator. We trust in the one that has it all in his hands. Now, none of us are strangers to the very real challenges, consequences, really, really deep, heavy things that happen on earth. We know our nation needs God. Our neighbors need him. Our friends need him. Our family need him. Life Center Canada. We need to pray for our nation, that Canadians are not being discipled by woes, that the things forming them are not debauchery, deception, darkness. We might not call it debauchery, but we might call it distraction. We might call it addiction. We might call it self-interest. We need a move of the Holy Spirit to touch our heads and our hearts when greed, fear, and division tempt us into them. Because every day you will be tempted to get into a rabbit hole. You will be tempted to further become critical, to further deepen your sadness, to further deepen your fear. Every day you'll be tempted into that. Instead, lean into wild hope. Lean into generosity. Where there is so much financial fear, lean into giving. Where there are so many lies, lean into the truth. When everything around us tells us that we can never get along with certain people, lean into conversations. Lean into praying for people. Lean into sitting with people that disagree with you. because God loves them so deeply. Reformation is when God's word forms the basis for right action, thinking, and living. Revival is when God's spirit leads to conviction, repentance, and trusting in Jesus. Awakening is when reformation and revival touch a nation. Let our prayer be that on earth as it is in heaven, God, we want an awakening. God, let us be awakened personally. Let us have a personal awakening, God, that can change a nation. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to radically transform us so that we can be peace bringers, hope ambassadors. We don't live in fear. We live with confidence of who God is and what he can do. We need a move. So friends, as we close today, I'm going to read from Ephesians 2. And I even brought, awkward transition moment. Whoop. I even brought my paper Bible, because I really am enjoying my paper Bible, my book Bible, you know, away from the phone Bible. I've really been leaning into that. Maybe you need to lean into it too. It's fine. But I want to read to you before we close today from Ephesians 2. We're going to start at verse 13. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Thank you, God. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So let's just pray as we end here today. God, would you make us a dwelling place of your Spirit? God, would you awaken us? Where we have leaned into darkness, God, into deceit. God, if that is our reality right now, Lord, would you help us? Lord, there's a way out, and it's you. Lord, where we have leaned in, even as a nation, not just personally, God, but where we have leaned as a nation into the wrong things that are not of you. Holy Spirit, would you awaken hearts and minds? Would you bring wisdom to the right places? God, we need a move of your Spirit to touch us continually, every day. Thank you, God, that we are made new. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, God, to deal with the severity, the heaviness, the overwhelming, destructive nature of sin. Thank you so much for what your Son has done for us, God. And Holy Spirit, would you help us to be a light, God? Would you help us to be a light in the darkness, in difficult conversations? God, would you help our minds? Would you help us to think thoughts that honor you, God? Would you turn our hearts away from the temptation of greed, the temptation of selfishness, the temptation of our own wisdom? And Lord, let us lean into you. Let us crave, Lord, that our cravings would not be physical cravings that don't satisfy, but that our cravings would be from you, that we would crave a deeper relationship, that we would crave your word, God, that we would crave to know the scriptures, to know your character, to know who you are, Lord Jesus, in a deeper and more powerful way. God, you are so good. Lord, we lift up every situation. God, we trust you in those situations. When it's difficult, God, we trust you. When it's dark, we trust you. When we're in a valley, we trust you. When we can't solve it, we trust you. When there is sickness and death and healing and separation, Lord, we trust you. God, we lean into you deeper and deeper, more and more every single day. God, you are so beautiful and so magnificent. Lord, let us worship you wholly with everything that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.